Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Steve Rivera, and welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on AM 1030, The Voice. Glad to have Chris Gronkowski on the line. Chris, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
Fine, thank you. I want to kind of full disclosure. I met Chris about 18 months ago in a phone call to do a story. Obviously, he's a U of A guy, U of A grad, and he had this product called the Shaker. And he was doing these business things, and I said, sure, I'll do it. He's a UA grad, a football guy, and I did the story. And all of a sudden, Chris Gronkowski's on the Shark Tank. I'm thinking, holy moly, what a life.
Oh, yeah. It happened quick, right?
It did. How is it going?
It's been incredible. I mean, I talked to you at the very beginning.
Yes.
One product at the time, one color, really have just absolutely exploded. We now have over 65 variations of different bottles and products for everyone. So it has been amazing.
I heard through Bob, my producer, that it was on last night, the show. Did you see it again?
Absolutely. Yeah, so we did. We had a one-year update from November, actually, is when that one first aired. And then we're starting to get the reruns of the original show that was from October of 2017. It's starting to air now that after a year they sell it to CNBC, and then CNBC starts doing the rerun. So we got our first rerun, and it's been awesome, because every time it runs, our site just blows up.
I bet. And on the show, I think the Cuban, Mark Cuban and Alex Rodriguez, kind of bought into it.
Absolutely. So we had offers from all five sharks on the show. I ended up closing a deal with Mark and Alex, and they both invested into the company, and it's something that has helped greatly with it, and it's two guys that I'm in contact with every week, pretty much, that have done a lot to really help grow this business.
Yeah, sometimes the people like you go on the show, get deals, but the deals aren't completed. They kind of go their separate ways. But yours was completed.
Yep. Yeah. It's not. It's not that high of a rate that actually get completed. A lot of people do walk away from it. They do have you sign some term sheets that aren't always the most favorable.
Yeah.
Especially, they weren't great terms for me, but at the time, we were 6 months in. It was a side hustle really at the time. So for me, it was about, hey, what if I don't do this deal? What could it have been? And so that's really what drove me into, closing the deal and seeing where we can go with it.
You asked, what'd you ask for? And did you get what you asked for?
Yes, I went in asking $100,000 for 10%. I ended up getting the same valuation, but at 15%. So I got $150K, 15%, and then I had the two sharks. So got my valuation. Actually got to pick up, two experts.
Oh, sure. Name brand, name people, and obviously who are sports minded. So how could you go wrong?
Yeah, absolutely. And even Alex has a nice. Nice firepower sitting next to him with J-Lo, so we're still trying to work that angle, too.
Yeah, hey, you come at the right time. Perfect. How cool was it preparing for the show?
So it's nerve-wracking. I mean, you're going up there, and this is something that it's going to follow you for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. So if you're not ready, and I'm sure you've seen it if you watch the show, they'll eat you apart. And if you don't have the answers ready, if you don't know what you're talking about, you don't have your numbers down, you can end up walking out of there without a deal and being embarrassed. And it really could be, the end of your company, especially if you're young and just starting, because if they trash you on there, why would anyone buy your product? So I went in, I prepared, I watched every episode I can that I could at the time, and I wrote down every question that they asked, and I was going to sit there and make sure that I knew the answer before I went on the show.
Sure. How did you got a degree from Arizona, right? Business?
Yep, yeah, accounting degree.
How did this prepare you for what's ahead, or what happened then and now?
It's been huge, because going in there, it's not just about accounting. When you go into the business school, you learn every aspect of business, and that's absolutely huge when you're starting your own business, because I do, and I had to do every single role growing this business. So it wasn't just about accounting. I had to figure out marketing. Mm-hmm. I had to figure out every aspect of business, sales, everything possible that you can think of as an entrepreneur, and learn it from the ground up. So by having a background in everything, it definitely helped start and make my business successful.
Yeah, no, what a fantastic situation for going to school here and being able to pull it off. You had I don't know if you still have it, but you had a company before that kind of greeting card stuff. Tell me, explain to me.
Yeah, absolutely. It was actually, we still have it. It's called everythingdecorated.com. It actually started as I was playing in the NFL. My wife was just so sick of me getting moved to a new team every year. And so she finally sat down after my third team I was on and said, hey, I'm not looking for another job. I'm going to find a way to work from home because I am just sick of applying for job after job and every year having to quit and find something new. So she started hand painting wine glasses, and it turned into this huge personalized gift shop online where you can customize gifts, turned into pretty much any material, but we geared it towards wedding gifts. And when I retired from football, I used that money to go in and buy commercial grade laser engravers that really helped us expand it and be able to do pretty much anything personalized besides plastic. And it took off. So ended up leaving the NFL and being more successful in business.
Sure. When's her chance at the Shark Tank?
it's something. I don't think it's unique enough to really go on Shark Tank. It's not a single product; it's a whole business.
Uh-huh.
Just something that it's not really investable in. Really, really strong. And I'm sure you've seen it too if you watch the show.
Sure.
Goes on there.
Mm-hmm.
A really strong business, making good money, but just really not a great investable and scalable business because everything is personalized. So
sure.
There is a ceiling to it, how much you can engrave. And with our business, it does so well because we ship out everything pretty much the same day that it's ordered. So we personalize and ship the same day. And to give that kind of service, it's hard to scale.
Your product itself, I know it was just on the ground stages when we were talking. You sent me some examples. We put them on the show. How has it grown? I don't know if you want to give up any numbers, but it must have grown tremendously in the last year.
Absolutely. So with our update in November, we did do it's just a little under a year since we aired on Shark Tank until the update was about, I think it was about 11 months later. So from that point, when we were on Shark Tank, we had $80,000 in sales in our first 6 months in business. From the point from Shark Tank to a little under a year, we were over 3 million in sales. We went from one product to the one we aired, really just one product, a 26-ounce bottle. We did have two other colors, a black and a pink that we just brought in to try that we had very small amounts of. But from there, we expanded into now I think we have 18 different variations just of the 26-ounce bottle. We have a 16-ounce shaker bottle, a 20-ounce tumbler with a straw. We have a mini tumbler that we're introducing. We have champagne flutes, wine cups. We even have a protein coffee that has done super well with us as well, which is 20 grams of protein and two shots of espresso. That just kind of a product that we knew our market, our demographics would do really well with, and we wanted to offer people something they could buy the shaker bottle with and use in their shaker bottle. So
the
sky's the limit with it, and we have a lot more products that we're looking to drop within the next couple months.
Very cool. You interested in adopting a middle-aged man?
I'm interested in hiring one.
My resume is on its way. Thank you very much.
I love it.
Hey, let's at the break. We're going to talk more about your time here at U of A. Obviously, talk about your brother and the craziness that you've seen, you dealt with probably every day, and how much fun maybe Tucson was to you back in the day. Cool?
Absolutely.
Great.
Love
it. We'll talk more. Thanks a bunch, Chris. Let's go to break, Bob.
So you're planning a special event, but what about tents, tables, chairs, linens, serving ware, and everything else you'll need? Don't have all of that equipment? Arizona Party Rental does. Hi, this is Ken Flower, owner of Arizona Party Rental. With thousands of items in stock, we have what it takes to make your event a great success. Do you need event planning advice? Our event professionals are here to help you. Visit our rental showroom at 3619 East Speedway or online at ArizonaPartyRental.net. Arizona Party Rental, where every event is special.
Do you know how easy it is to make a difference in our community? Each year, your donations to Goodwill help thousands of people in Southern Arizona with job placements, mentoring, workforce readiness, and other services through our programs, and kept over 30 million pounds of stuff out of our landfills. Together, we can do it again. Donation locations and more information are available at goodwillsouthernaz.org. With Goodwill, it's that easy to do good.
John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. John C. Scott features interviews with elected officials, candidates, reporters, consultants, and voters on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice, the John C. Scott Political Forum.
The John C. Scott Show, heard weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on 1030 KVOI, trusted local news and talk.
My name is Bobby. I'm a veteran and lost my leg to a roadside bomb. My victory was going from a wheelchair to becoming a weightlifting champion.
I'm Sam. I'm a veteran. My victory was finding a career I can be proud of and supporting my family.
America's veterans are on their most important tour, the tour of their lives.
I'm a veteran. My victory was going from homeless to home.
At DAV, we're on a mission to help veterans get the benefits they've earned.
I'm a veteran, and my victory was finishing my education.
DAV offers veterans of all generations a lifetime of support for victories great and small.
My victory was proving that disability is not a limitation.
My victory was getting my service dog a new best friend.
We help more than a million veterans every year as they face and conquer their challenges.
My victory is being able to be there for my family.
When America's veterans win, we all win. Help us support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Trusted local news and talk. AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on politics.
Lido missed the boat that day. He left the shack.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball. I'm your host, Steve Rivera. This is AM 1030, The Voice. Trusted local news and talk. We're talking with Chris Gronkowski. Are you based in Dallas still? Are you still there?
Yep, yeah, just right outside of Dallas.
So your wife was tired of moving all around now, and she said, oh, Chris, enough of this. How does she like you now?
Oh, man, I don't know.
You're too busy.
Too much now.
Yeah. Hey, you came to Tucson to go to U of A. I think you played at Maryland, or you were at Maryland for a while.
Yep.
Your reasoning to come here, I think your brother was still here, correct?
No, he wasn't there.
He was already
he was being recruited out of college.
Oh, okay.
I was looking to get out of Maryland, and I was looking to piggyback, man, and see what I can do. And that's kind of how I ended up there. I came here. I came to Arizona the semester before Rob got there. It was kind of a deal that we worked out with each other and you know, with the coaches was I was going to come there. Rob was going to come in, and then I wanted a chance to play baseball because I had to sit out a year for football. And mm-hmm. Just asked for a chance to try out for the team, and then from there also play football. And if I was able to play, get put on scholarship.
Yeah. How did you have to recruit your brother to come here?
No, we had a good family friend who actually was the recruiter. He was in the fitness industry along with my dad. So my dad met him through all the conventions and everything he did. So he sold fitness equipment as well. But he was a huge Arizona alum. He played for U of A in the Desert Storm area or time, and went on to play for the Falcons and stuff like that as well. So he was pushing us really hard to come to U of A.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Donnie Salem, I would assume that's the guy.
That's Donnie. That's Donnie, right.
Yeah, I covered Donnie back in the late 80s. One of the good dudes, one of the crazy dudes. Loved the guy, yeah. Outspoken, but Donnie's Donnie, and I like him a lot. So I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
What I'm talking about.
Yeah. So, no, how could you not? So you came here. What did you like about Tucson? And I'm sure it's kind of still has a place in your heart.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was a whole different experience coming from the Northeast, coming out to Arizona. I mean, it was just laid back, whole different atmosphere. When we came in and came for the recruiting visit, we went right to a pool party. it was something I hadn't seen. It's the middle. I mean, it was pretty, I think it was cold out then. I think it was in the winter at least. And there was this pool party going on, and I'm coming from the snow and, just having a great time and couldn't believe it really.
Right.
And, And that's kind of what sold us. And then Rob was coming in and Sonny Dykes was coming in, and he just, you know, threw the ball to the tight end, I think, over 80 times the season before. So that was a big factor as well, of just being able to come in and start immediately and get a ton of passes and thrown to you. So that was two major factors. And then Donnie Salem just pushing it, you know, to the max to get us here.
Right.
But yeah, Tucson was absolutely amazing. Loved it. Completely different scene from where I was used to. I mean, it was nice out. My first day on campus, it was actually, I think, about 75 degrees out. Everyone had pants on, coats on. I was in t-shirt and shorts, and I was sweating. Everyone was looking at me like, "What's wrong with you?"
Right. Welcome home. Welcome home. Yes.
Yeah. Just a whole new environment that I had to get used to. And, a couple months in, we're running stadiums at 1 o'clock in the afternoon in 100 degree weather, and you just adapt to it.
Yeah.
And once you get there, that was huge for me, because I ended up going and playing in Dallas without an indoor the year after the indoor blew over, and that was nothing. I mean, that was easy for me. So, once you get used to that heat, everything's good to go. But yeah, I love Tucson. That was amazing experience for me, and a ton of fun.
Sure, sure. And then you went to the NFL, I think Dallas, and then Denver, and to the Colts.
Yep. Yeah. Dallas, then to the Colts, and then
to Denver.
Then to Denver, and ended up in San Diego for camp, and got hurt in camp. Took an injury settlement, told me I'd be out 3 weeks. Ended up 3 months later, still trying to come back from a high ankle sprain. And I did run a 40 in Miami and blew out my hamstring, and I called it a day.
Call it a day. And then now, well, you were destined for other greatness.
Absolutely. At the same time, the company that my wife started was just taking off, and it was exploding, and we were making really good money. So it was an easy transition that most players really struggle with. And so for me to have that was extremely lucky, actually.
Sure, sure. How has the last name helped?
Some people try to say that, you know, that's why I got in the NFL and all this. But at the time when I entered with Rob. So there was nothing there yet. He was coming off an injury. He didn't play his junior year and then left early. So the NFL, they're not going to take someone just because of a name anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So really had to prove myself, went in as an undrafted free agent. Afterwards, though, starting a business, the one with my wife had absolutely nothing to do with our name. I actually never told anyone what I was doing. I was kind of embarrassed about it, that I was now engraving wedding gifts for a living after coming off an NFL career. So when people asked, it was kind of like, hey, I'm doing my own thing. We sell pocket knives, stuff like that.
Sure.
Never really told anyone what I was doing. I actually built that whole entire business without any social media, without anyone even knowing who was behind it. But after that, you know, really with Ice Shaker, it's greatly benefited us. We are into fitness, and we have a whole fitness line of products as well that my dad has been doing for over almost 30 years now. So using that, using Shark Tank, using everything has greatly benefited Ice Shaker a lot.
Right, right, right. Has your brother, your brother's helped you endorse too.
Absolutely, yeah. He was on the show with us. He's made videos for me. He even, in a press conference this year, mentioned Ice Shaker and told everyone that they need to go get one. So it's been awesome.
Right, right. Well, I know that you sent the U of A football guys their own engraved ones.
We did.
2 years ago, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was, 2 years ago. Yeah, we did outfit the whole team. We had it in the student library as well. And so it's been awesome.
Great, great, great. So tell me, when you were here at U of A, you're going to have to be clean with some stories, I guess. I don't know if you want. But how was it with you and your brother here? Craziness? Hey, the pool party was kind of Gronkowski. That kind of labels everything. You're just kind of fun and fun-loving.
Yeah, that was when we were coming out for the draft. That was kind of the first question everyone asked was, you know, what were you guys in a frat, or what were you guys really doing?
You guys were a frat.
Yeah, I guess we had our own frat. The crazy thing was that our oldest brother, who was in the minor leagues for baseball at the time, he was with the Los Angeles Angels at the time, but they had their summer ball out in Tempe.
Mm-hmm.
So he told my dad that he wanted to stay in Arizona so he could continue to train. And so he was going to live with us and help us out and train for baseball. Well, that ended up turning into him coming down and just partying the whole off season. And, you know, for us, it was great because, you know, he would pay for everything. You know, we couldn't afford anything. We were living, you know, month to month on our scholarship checks, yeah. And really had no money. So for him to come down with a car and then, you know, pay for things that we didn't have money for, it was awesome. So it was a great time. And, you know, I don't think he trained much, but we had a good time for
yeah.
sure.
What a life. You're, what, 22 at the time, 21, 19, something like that?
Yeah, yeah. So I left, I think I was 22 when I left college.
Has your brother's career even exceeded what you thought would happen to him?
Man, it's hard to say. Going into his junior year, just in summer ball, it was insane what he was doing. And I remember Mark Stoops saying at the time, you know, this is the best player that I've mm-hmm. ever seen play the game. And, you know, he coached some good players at Miami. And for him to say that, it was kind of like, you know, wow, that's really impressive. And, I mean, no one could cover him at the time. We had really good corners. You know, Robert Golden was in there at the time. And there was just even Devin Ross, who was highly, highly rated at the time.
Yeah.
They just couldn't cover him. I mean, there was nothing they could do to stop him one-on-one in summer ball. So at that point, it was kind of like, wow, this guy, you know, he is super special. He was exploding with talent at that time. And then that's right when he got hurt. So it was hard to say that after that, you know, what you would come back from, because you know, it just wasn't there after surgery. And it took months for him to get back to even being able to run, you know, full speed again. And when it came down to it, he came out early and he was not ready for the combine. And then the pro day was approaching fast, and just weeks before it, he still could not run a 40. So
yeah.
At that point, you know, we started having doubts that maybe it was the wrong decision. And, you know, and then all of a sudden just all came back to him about 2 weeks before pro day. And at that point, you know, the rest was history. He went out there, ran a low 4.6, and everyone saw the talent. He ended up going, you know, second round, which wasn't the greatest thing ever, but he went to a team that he could be successful at.
Sure.
At that point, you know, being healthy, the sky was the limit with him.
Some people still say here, and I had someone on the show yesterday talking about what would have happened had he stayed that year, because they still say he would have been huge in the offense that next year.
Yeah, and
what would have happened to Stoops? Stoops could still be coaching here. Who knows?
Yeah, and Stoops knew that for sure. You know, he was trying to do everything he could to keep Rob on the field. You know, going into his junior year, because the talent was mm-hmm. insane. I mean, they were drooling over him in summer ball. So when he came up with the back injury, I mean, that was the worst thing for everyone. I mean, we went to the Holiday Bowl that year. We had a great year without him. So for him to be on the field that year, I mean, it probably would have been a Pac-10 championship.
Right, right. I just got a tweet from somebody who's followed you here and abroad. But when you were the Cowboys, you played for Tony Romo. Are you surprised? He's been very good at what he's doing now. Are you surprised by all that? He's a very bright guy, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's really good. I don't know if I'd say surprisingly good, but it's really impressive listening to him, and I love it. And I'm glad he calls the games, and he loves Rob too, which is always a bonus.
Yeah, I'm sure. Are you now? Are you a Cowboy fan? Are you still kind of, which fan are you now?
Yeah, so people ask me that all the time. We grew up Buffalo Bills fans.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was hardcore. He went to all four of the Super Bowls. We cheered for the Bills, Jim Kelly, all them back in the day. And then Rob becomes a Patriot. You know, I go to the Cowboys. I mean, my other brother's playing for all different kinds of teams. So at the end of the day, I'm going to cheer for family no matter what. So became a Patriots fan, of course. And but I respect every team. I respect every player, because it drives me crazy when people say, well, you know, why is that guy playing for this team? You don't have a choice.
Right.
I mean, it's not.
Right.
I didn't go into the draft and say I'm only playing for the Cowboys. It was more, you know, wherever I end up, I will be grateful to be on that team. And just the hard work that everyone puts in, and what you, especially after you're done, when you look back and you say, wow, you know, that's something I could never even do again. Or, you know, that was so hard and that was, you know, so stressful situation, that I just have so much respect now for every single player that's on that field.
It's funny. I was going to ask you, everybody who comes to play D1 football, basketball, things like that, have these dreams of playing in the NFL or NBA. But it's unbelievably difficult to make it there. Can you maybe give advice to people who think they can, but it's just almost impossible?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of one of those things that I never thought I'd make it. And you know, to this day, it's kind of like, man, all I was told my whole life was, you're not going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I never even thought it was possible. So for me, it was all about, you know, get the best degree you possibly can, you know, do the best that you possibly can, work as hard as you can. And if it happens, it happens. But I never expected. I was always told it was one in a million.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was the shortest of the five brothers. I was the only one who didn't have, you know, a Division I scholarship coming out of high school. So for me, I never had that mindset. I never even thought about it. But and I think that's the way to go about it.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, be the best that you can, work as hard as you can, and if it happens, it happens. But always have a backup plan. And even when I was playing, and most guys do, you have to be thinking about the future, because no matter how good you are, it's going to end at some point. And even if you have a 10-year career, you're still going to only be, you know, 30, 32 years old when it's done. So shoot for the moon. Try as hard as you can. But if it doesn't happen, you always have to be ready for something else in life.
Super, super. I was going to ask you, what would you tell your younger self? What would the advice be to your younger self maybe 15 years ago?
Man, I'd probably tell myself to have a little more confidence, because it was kind of like, you know, just being passed on, you know, went to Maryland, wasn't really highly respected there, felt like I wasn't even supposed to be there because I accepted a late scholarship, mostly because of my academics. I was actually going to the University of Penn. They lost a bunch of players just to academics. They were about to go on academic probation, so they brought me in on a full scholarship because our older brother was doing pretty good. He had really good grades.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, never even expected an offer from them. Got it late, accepted it, but really never felt like I was supposed to be there. So one of those things where kind of fell into that, and then, you know, transferred to Arizona. Really never felt like I was part of the team. Wasn't recruited by them either. Kind of just came on my own. But, you know, at the end of the day, confidence is big. I mean, when you have the confidence, when you believe in yourself, you can do so much more. So
right.
That's definitely the advice I go back and tell myself is, hey, you know, you're supposed to be here. Believe in yourself. You know, you're here for a reason.
Right, right. Are you headed to the Super Bowl in a couple of weeks?
Yep, I'm heading down there on Friday.
Well, I would tell you to enjoy yourself, but I think that's a given. You know how to have fun.
It's actually changed a little bit for me now that I have kids. So family, two kids. Last year, you know, usually I was going down and I was going to all the parties. Last year with my son, I was able to go out there, get him on the field, take pictures with him. So definitely a different experience and a different angle, but just as much fun. It's just now kind of living through the kids and the experiences instead of just going down and partying the whole time.
Right, right. So a couple kids, you say?
Yeah, so two boys.
Two boys. Well, I'll be the third after the adoption comes through. And working for the Shaker. That'd be great for me.
Oh, perfect.
Okay.
Let me get the radio show.
Okay, you're on. Hey, Chris, thanks for coming on. This has been a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
We'll talk soon. Congratulations on all the success.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Take care.
All right. Hey, Bob, that was fun. Let's go to break and talk more about this on the other side.
What is independent living at Fellowship Square Tucson?
It's replacing the things you have to do with the things you'd rather do. It's having friends next door instead of across town and enjoying homemade meals served to you and not by you. It's having everything you need in one place and the freedom to keep exploring. This is independent living at Fellowship Square Tucson. If you'd like a free tour of Fellowship Square Tucson and a complimentary lunch, visit us online at fellowshipsquaretucson.org or call 886-5537. That's 886-5537.
Lexus of Tucson announces the newest arrival to its crossover family, the UX Urban Explorer. With a starting MSRP of just $32,000, the UX offers numerous active safety features and Apple CarPlay as standard features. The UX has the best turning radius, highest MPG, and lowest cabin noise of any crossover in its class. Get details and see it now at Lexus of Tucson. Experience amazing. Speedway in Columbus and at the Auto Mall.
Open calendar. What's my schedule looking like?
Next Thursday, you will be caught in an emergency flash flood between Park and First Street.
What? No, that doesn't work. I'm busy then. Decline. Decline.
Floods don't exactly work around your schedule. Disasters don't plan ahead. But you can. It starts with talking to your loved ones about making an emergency plan. So don't wait. Communicate. Visit EIN.AZ.gov. Brought to you by the Arizona Emergency Information Network, FEMA, and the Ad Council.
Reliable and timely financial information from Bloomberg Radio Network, 7 p.m. to 6 a.m. on KVOI AM 1030. Trusted local news and talk. No more knowledgeable woman than Dawn English and her irresistible Tucson, food and culture in the Old Pueblo. From 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. on KVOI AM 1030, trusted local news and talk.
Being there matters. And your United States Navy protects and defends America on the world's oceans. Around the globe, around the clock, Navy ships, submarines, aircraft, and most importantly, tens of thousands of America's finest young men and women are ready to defend America when piracy threatens global commerce, when disaster strikes, or when called upon by the Commander-in-Chief, your Navy is there. When it comes to protecting and defending America, being there matters. And America's Navy is already there.
Trusted local news and talk. AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on sports.
I can see why you think you belong with me. I never tried to make you think or let you see one thing for yourself.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball. I'm your host, Steve Rivera. This is 1030 KVOI, Trusted News and Talk. Bob, he's a cool dude.
He sounded like a little bit of a party animal back before the two little younglings, eh?
They all are in college. You were, I'm sure, too.
If I had gone to college, I'm sure. But instead, yeah, I was.
Real
I was,
world?
I was the guy wearing cowboy boots and working for my dad's contracting company. But
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, he sounds
smart
like he
guy.
Had some fun.
Smart guy.
CPA?
Accounting.
Accounting.
Well, then he created all these things. Yeah, business. I spoke to him originally 18, 19 months ago when I did the story on the Shaker when it was first coming out. Very cool. I'll bring you one. I think I have them somewhere stashed in my house. Could take me about a day or two to find it, but I'll bring you one. They're very cool. I'm off insulated. You saw them.
Nice stuff, huh?
Yeah, very cool.
I did really well there. I had so many dumb questions like, how good are your seats? And were you nervous on the show? And stuff like that. But it was interesting, having been in the wedding business, DJing and stuff. When people asked him, instead of going, oh, we do an engraved wedding gifts, he's like, we got a little side business here. We do knives,
which
of course are groomsmen gifts.
Right.
I'm sure he did lots of, you know, bridesmaids gifts, and that was the party.
Come over here. I got something better for you.
He doesn't want to talk about.
Yeah. But this thing has taken off. I mean, I know when I did the story a few months ago, it was kind of just a jug and cool jug, and now he's got, 65 different ways to do this?
Well, I hear this story all the time from Shark Tank, and it's a great way, even if they turn you down, it's still a great way to kick your business up. But if you get five offers, guaranteed you're going through the roof. Otherwise, those guys wouldn't bother. It's not just the show. $80,000 to $3 million
in a year,
12 months or whatever.
Yeah.
Not so bad.
Yeah.
Hey, and I do. Tell you what, I will be your bag carrier if you get adopted, you know. So you're going to need an adoption attorney, I'm sure, to get all that through. Another kid wouldn't be that bad. He'd have to explain it to the other two why you're so.
Uncle Steve, what the heck? Sounds good to me. I'll move to Dallas. I came from Dallas. I'll move back to Dallas. I do remotely, too. I like Tucson too much. But I did live in Dallas, and it was a great time. That's when I was younger, and it was a lot of fun.
I went to Dallas when my son was in this National Spelling Bee, and he did rather well. I made the mistake of offering him, $100 for anyway.
Any word, every word that he spelled?
Still tripping? It's like every $100 that you, every position you move up, because he was like in the top 20 or something. I said, every position you move up, you know, I'll give you $100. And there was like the final 20 and he tied for eighth or something.
$1,200.
I was like, oh no. So what about the money? I was like, well, I didn't know you were going to do so well. But daddy was just trying to motivate you with cash, which.
Oh man. So daddy come through with that?
Slowly with, you know, maybe not the, a little bit of cash, but you know, a computer and a phone.
So when he does his own radio show, you know, there was a time when I was like 10 and my dad made this promise to me. And he didn't come through.
Uh-oh.
And, you know, that therapy, one of those therapy things.
Yes.
And he disappointed me. And now I just don't trust him because he can tell me something.
He was. I better. You know, it's funny. I worry more about my daughter giving me that line and then, you know, batting her eyes.
Oh, yeah. Well, we talked about that, how she's got you wrapped around her little finger.
She does. She was funny. I sent her the show and I said, did you like it? And she goes, I wasn't that good. And I was like, what are you talking about? I didn't know, you know, I didn't speak the way, I mean, she was so hard on herself. I was like, sweetie, you're 10, back off.
Look what you had to work with. It was Uncle Steve. Not so much.
Oh, no.
Hey, you know what? I was hoping to, you know, we kind of went along with Chris. I was hoping to maybe look at the press conference today with Sean Miller.
I'm so sorry. I should have known.
We have 18 minutes of this. We have to take a break here in a little moment. Could you see how long he went today? Maybe he talked a little about the Book Richardson plea agreement yesterday that was made about the time when they canceled the press conference with him. And remember, we were trying to search it all day yesterday, and it finally was decided that he was not going to be there because he was ill.
You knew something was up, though.
I knew something was up. I should have checked my emails because they did send us an email via the U of A, and I just didn't see it.
Looks like, who's this,
That's, Brandon Randolph, and okay. They've sent, I think Brandon Randolph, and they may have sent, Brandon Williams. Do you see Sean there?
I didn't fast forward. Okay. Their website has got a couple little clunks with it if you mess with it.
Let's do
this.
Looks
like it's a little over 5 minutes long, though.
Let's do this. Let's go to break now, that way we'll have more time on the other side to finish off. Because we're going to go to break here in 2 minutes, and then we can kind of do investigations in terms of how long these things last.
You got her.
Thanks.
I want a girl. 90 years of Tucson photos. The music of Aaron Copland performed by the Tucson Symphony Orchestra and the American premiere of a new concerto by Mexico's most famous composer. All at the Tucson Music Hall when the Tucson Symphony performs music from Copland's Rodeo and Our Town while dozens of images from Tucson's past are displayed on the big screen. Hear award-winning trumpet sensation Pacho Flores, world famous for his ability to blend classical and popular styles, perform new music by Sonoran composer Arturo Marquez, co-commissioned by the TSO with orchestras from Mexico, Japan, and Spain. A stunning program of American classics, Tucson memories, and new music from the Tucson Symphony Orchestra, January 25th and 27th at the Tucson Music Hall. Tickets at 882-8585 or TucsonSymphony.org.
I'm Bernard Buford with the Architecture Company. We have earned the loyalty and respect of our clients by listening to their dreams and creating dazzling designs. Since we have been using Leeschenach Network solutions for routine and automated maintenance on our computers, our downtime has been close to zero. This helps us meet our target dates. We rely on Leeschenach to help keep us up and running.
The Architecture Company trusts us with their network, shouldn't you? Call us today at 888-9122. Leeschenach Network Solutions, 888-9122.
Hello, I'm Ed Begley, Jr., and wherever you call home, the sounds of wildlife connect you with a greater family of life. That's why you shudder each time you see woods, marshes, meadows, or grasslands being destroyed. You know that countless birds and other wild animals are losing their homes, the greatest threat to their survival. Among the growing number of threats to wildlife, habitat loss is the most devastating. The Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust offers a humane solution. working with private landowners to protect habitat as permanent safe havens for wildlife. When you hear the familiar wild voices you love, remember, your voice is the one that can speak for wildlife and for the land they call home, ensuring that it stays forever wild. To learn more to work with the Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust, visit wildlifelandtrust.org.
Tucson's diversity is celebrated in Mark Bishop's Morning Affair from 10 a.m. to noon on KVOI AM 1030, trusted local news and talk. Reliable and timely financial information from Bloomberg Radio Network, 7 p.m. to 6 a.m. on KVOI AM 1030, trusted local news and talk.
When you went car shopping, you meant business. You ace vehicle history searches and test drives. You out-salesman to the salesman. Now you've got your wheels. If you manage that, you can get your retirement plan on track. Visiting aceyourretirement.org can help. With 401k tips and smart saving strategies, you'll have the info you need to get more for your future. Go to aceyourretirement.org, because when it comes to speeding past financial challenges, you're an ace. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Trusted local news and talk. AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on Tucson.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball. I'm your host, Steve Rivera. This is AM 1030 KVOI, Trusted News and Talk. Welcome back. This is our final segment for today. Great day of talking to people. Caitlin Schmidt of the Arizona Daily Star and Andy Morales of AllSportsTucson.com and Chris Gronkowski of The Shaker, the brother of The Gronk. Hey, let's go to the media today and talk to some of the board, not talk, listen to some of the players at U of A as they prepare for USC.
Freshman guard Brandon Williams is here. Go ahead and fire away.
As a guy from LA, how important is this trip for you?
It's really important. I mean, just going back home in general, it's pretty cool. But at the end of the day, it's a business trip and trying to get a road sweep.
Did you ever have a preferred team when you grew up in LA? Did you watch UCLA more than USC, or was it the other way around?
The only time I really watched college sports was when Stanley Johnson, because he's from LA, and that's a guy who I really looked up to. So I think that's kind of why I fell in love with this place, Arizona. So I didn't really watch college like that.
Did you go to games at all?
I went to UCLA games a little bit.
Take away from the atmosphere there.
It was crazy. I went when they had Zach LaVine, so that was a while. He's a high flyer, and kind of brought it back when Lonzo came through. So it's kind of cool, and, it's just great atmosphere.
Were you at that game where Schreer kind of went off and beat him?
Is that when he broke his hand?
No, the game he came back
when he came back from the suspension.
At Poly and had that really good game.
I don't think so. I went to the game where Zoe broke his hand. The overtimes, yeah.
Oh, you were there?
I was at
that. At SC? Mm-hmm. Yeah, what did you think of that? That was classic.
That was good. That was the time where... or a lot of things are going on, but it was cool. I wasn't really talking to Arizona like that, more of USC, but just getting to know their staff and just looking at just different atmospheres, and it was kind of cool how they was going back and forth, and you didn't know who was going to win.
Were you there as an unofficial for USC?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Have you done anything to change your shot selection? You were 10-plus most games, but then Pac-12 play. After the first game against Colorado, you've taken fewer shots. Is that by design, or is it just how things have worked out?
I'm just trying to take smarter shots, shots that I know I'm capable of making. I do it every day in practice. Coaches always emphasize on shot selection. I'm trying to do a better job with that as well as some of the other guys. And I can see right now we're rolling right now, so we're going to try to keep that up.
Just one more question about that game, that four overtime game. Is there anything specific you remember about that game? I mean, Alonzo broke his hand and tried to shoot free throws with it, I remember, but anything like that or, just the craziness of that game?
Not really. I just remember, I think my whole team went on that trip. They came with me, but other than that, no. I just remember Trier after the game had an ice pack on his hand, and I kind of like realized it during the game that he kind of did something. But yeah, it was kind of a thriller.
Share like why USC wasn't the right fit for you when you were looking to make your final decision.
No, not really.
When you went before you committed here, was the second time around you weren't. I'm wondering. You were considering Gonzaga and Oregon. I didn't know if SC or UCLA, I don't know, did you hear anything from those guys at that point?
I did, but that wasn't really into my interest. You know, I'm here now, so I'm just going to continue to do business.
Coach talked about you settling in last week. How much more comfortable are you now as opposed to maybe early December?
I'm starting to find my groove now. I feel like as a team as well, ever since really just the Bay Area, I would think I really make that next step and adjusting quite well, like I said, with shot selection and just picking my poison, you know, when to shoot or when to drive or when to dish it off. You know, I think I'm starting to get a good sense of that in college.
Was there a moment when maybe that light went on and you kind of were able to take that next step?
I'd probably say in the Bay Area. Started off with Stanford game. I started off kind of slow or started off kind of hot and then started to die off, but I think that's the next adjustment for me is just to keep that consistency.
Yeah, that Stanford game, you mentioned the hot start, but then you kind of got into that turnover phase.
Yeah.
Turned over like four times, right? What happens when you kind of get into that mindset there where things kind of go awry?
You just got to stick with it. Just remember your concepts and continue to do the fundamentals that Coach always preaches with getting below the foul line and looking out instead of trying to score over a seven-footer or something like that because there's always going to be a guy open. So I think I'm starting to figure that out slowly and slowly.
Well, I mean, looking back now that you're kind of at midseason here, I mean, what's been? It seems like you have a lot of things front you. Not only do they need you to score a lot, but just playing a lot of point guard. And when Justin was banged up there, you're playing even more of that. And then defensively, I mean, has there been, you know, anything's kind of jumped out at you that maybe has been the hardest thing to get used to?
I'll probably say just my defense. You know, every night in, night out, I'm battling guys that I can play. McKinley Wright, Peyton Pritchard, even Victor Bailey. You know, every night I got to go up against guys who can play and guys who crash the offensive boards. And then, yeah, just keeping off the boards and trying to push it.
How would you describe your relationship with Justin? I think he said the other night that he called you Rook and you referred to him as old hat or something like that.
I call him an old head, yeah. He's like 29? Nah, I'm playing. But, yeah, he's my vet. I look at him as a mentor, you know, a guy who can just, not leave me on the court, but leave me off the court, making sure I'm doing the right things, making sure I'm staying healthy, cause we always go to our little spot for breakfast or for dinner.
You said he watches like 6-7 hours of film. Is he impressed that kind of preparation on you at all?
Slowly and slowly, I'm starting to get into that film stage, but, you know, as a rook, you know, I don't really watch too much film, but now I am.
Sorry. Does it ever get to the point where you're out with him and he pulls out his phone to watch a video of a game and talk to you about it or something, or is that on?
Most of the time I walk into his apartment and then I would think he's watching like the Pacquiao fight or something like that, but instead he's watching like USC against TCU or something like that, so that's why I know he's an old head.
Wisdom does he impart on you, if any, when you guys are watching film together?
Just little things. You know, he always rewinds it. It's kind of like Coach Miller. He just stops asking me what he can do different or just small things that people don't really recognize or things that I didn't recognize, thinking outside the box. And I think that's important for me individually into getting that next step and next growth in my development.
Can you see him being a coach someday?
Yeah, definitely can. He has all the tools. I'd probably say people probably wouldn't take him seriously because he jokes around too much, but, yeah, he's pretty cool.
So what do you think about the matchups, you know, this game Thursday as a team and individually for yourself, too, just some of the guys you'd be matched up with?
Well, we're not certain about Kevin Porter's, what's going on with him, so we're not too sure about that, but I'm going to be guarding Jonah Matthews. I know he's a sharpshooter. He's a guy who's shooting over 40%, and he's a guy who's a two-year starter. You know, he has experience over me, and like I said, I'm battling guys every night, and he's one of them.
Yeah, so, yeah, Porter, it seems like it's been kind of a mystery with that, the latest thing for him. So do you prepare for him, or how do you approach that? Yeah.
We're going to prepare for him. No, just there's nothing wrong with being over-prepared.
How many people will you have at the games out there?
I'm guessing a lot. I didn't really get so many tickets, but I know for sure they bought them. But I'm not too sure. Probably over like 20.
Starting a three-game road trip coming up, how important is it to maybe start USC off on the right foot and get a win?
It's very important. Like you said, just starting off on the right foot. Like I said, there's nothing wrong with being overprepared. And, you know, like I said, going into it, it's my hometown and all, but going in, I know I got to be locked in and focused on the task at hand.
Anything else for Brandon? All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Well, there you have it. That was Brandon Williams. I think the first of three players they had today at the Sean Miller press conference, the one that Sean Miller has yet to be at. I guess he's going to go at 3 o'clock today.
Well, that's not helpful to you.
Yeah, no, it's not helpful for me. But that's fine. I mean, we'll get to play that tomorrow and see what he says. I think it could be wrong, but I don't think I am. That one of the players there had said that Chase Jeter had yet to practice since Saturday, his injury on the back. So we'll see what Miller says today about that and whether he's ready to go. But it's a huge weekend when they play USC tomorrow and UCLA on Saturday. They need both wins to stay near the top of the conference and to have any hope of getting to the NCAA tournament. Very critical.
I'm surprised that Jeter, they don't know if he's going to be there.
I guess we'll know. Well, they'll be available. It's funny, as I was listening to Brandon talk, it's very fortunate that Justin Coleman came along at the time he did, because he gets to help mentor Brandon Williams on the court, maybe teach him how important it is to study, to learn more about the game off the court. Because that's how you become better. You become better by playing better people, getting beat every now and again because you don't think your stuff is all that great. You show other people show you how it can be done in other ways. Mm-hmm. And by studying tendencies, what people like to do with the right hand to the left hand, blah, blah, blah. But you learn more than just playing. I think it happens in a lot of different areas.
I think it's nice to learn from your peers as opposed mm-hmm. to the coach anyway. So
sure, no, that helps. It's like your daughter or your sons who you tell people to tell them what to do, but they listen to me because they're not I'm not their dad.
Yep.
It happens all the time in a lot of different areas. They take advice from other people rather than their parents.
Yeah, unfortunately, sometimes.
Yeah, and in this case, that's good. This is, after all, that name, point guard. It hasn't been that great of a point guard place in a while, but it still has that kind of legacy that it needs to live up to. Whether it does or it doesn't, we'll soon see down the road with a couple of people coming in next year that might kind of reinvigorate that name.
Yeah.
But hey, today is a great day, great show, I thought. I don't know how you felt, Bob.
You always do a great job.
Oh, thank you,
especially
Bob.
Especially when this mic is off over here.
No, you're good. You come in with your great stuff. Hey, thanks for listening today. I had a lot of fun with Daily Star, Caitlin Schmidt, and Chris Gronkowski, and Andy Morales. Thanks a bunch. Talk to you tomorrow.